Oh boy, oh boy, oh me. All right, so you know I am feeling fabulously wonderful, ecstatic today for many reasons. It has been years that this producer and I should have sat down together and had this interview and just to vibe and to talk and to share thoughts, because we've always enjoyed having great productions. And this is one of our great producers out of Jamaica. Donovan Germain, OD, is in the house right here at our studios for The Edge 105.1, 105.3. Let me tell you, you're in for a reggae treat this evening. Germain, thank you so much for coming.
You're most welcome, Diane. And good evening to your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So you have a love affair with music.
From birth.
Tell us about it. How did it start?
Actually, I was born on Nelson Road. That's off Maxwell Avenue. And there was a sound system that was across the road from where I live. Mm. And they played music every Saturday. So I grew up listening to all the great songs, because the sound system, it was a very popular sound system. So they got all the new records before they came out. So every week I would hear new songs, and it just became a part of me.
So which instrument is your favorite instrument?
Bass.
I wondered, because with having the sound systems near to you, that pulsating
bass.
It's a bass. All right, yes. Good. So early life, you've got the music, you're around it all the time. What's the rest of the formative years in the community like?
Well, I attended that great institution at 2A North Street.
Oh, please.
So that was very critical in the development of myself as a man, mm-hmm. and my attitude towards life on a whole. That, you know, the brave may fall but never yield.
Yes.
So I'm never going to yield. You know. So, and then after KC, I migrated to the States, and my first job was in a record store. And I ended up buying the record store.
Wow. How long did that take you?
It took me about 6 years. Mm. Because I started working there in 1970. And the gentleman decided to retire. And he wanted to sell the store. And I remember I had just finished college. And my mom didn't want me to have nothing to do with music and being a record store. So when he asked if I would be interested in buying the store, and I went to my mom and asked her if she would give me the money to buy the store. She said to me, I remember she sat back on the bed and she looked at me and she said, "Donovan, do you think that I could come to America, clean white people's floor, send you to school, and you think about going into music?"
Wow.
And just to top that off, my biggest disappointment in my life is the fact that she didn't live to see the outcome of the decision I made.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my biggest regret right now.
Yeah. Did you have anyone else around you in that community that was able to share that joy with you?
Well,
aunts, uncles,
no.
Or anyone?
Mm. Because the thing about it, as an only child, and I grew with my mom, so most of the time I spent with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was much interaction with.
So she's your mother, your sister.
Yeah, she's everything.
And everything.
Yes.
Well, let us say that she's looking and smiling.
Yes,
so.
I hope so. I sincerely hope so.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break, but I want you to think of this. Yeah. All right. You've started in the industry, you're over there. We are going to go a little bit in the past again with some of the acts that you've worked with. But think of the three pivotal moments in our reggae history for you.
Okay.
Right, but we don't have a very long time here, so I have to cram everything in with the time that I've got. Three pivotal moments in the history of reggae that means something to Donovan Germain,
okay.
OD, producer extraordinaire out of the house of Penthouse, is here in the studio with us this evening for the Home Run. I'm Dion Mattis. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're inside the Home Run. My name is Dion Mattis. I'll be taking you up to 8 o'clock. And with me this evening for this time, and I'm going to try and hold on to him for as long as I can because this only happens once every 20 years. I have with me Donovan Germain. OD. Your mother would have been proud. Proud. But we were talking off air, and I know I did ask Donovan to tell us the three pivotal moments in reggae history for him, what would they be? But before you answer that, let's go to the story once again that your mother loaned you the money.
No, she didn't.
She give you?
No, she didn't. She didn't give me the money.
You asked for it.
Yes. And well, the continuation of the story then. I went back to the gentleman and I told him, well, my mom...
not giving you
not
the money.
Not giving the money. And this is this moment, that moment now is one of the defining moments in my life that has really made me who I am as a man. He said to me, I will give you the store and you pay me $100 per week. So that began a situation where people, I got help.
Yes.
It's my giving back to people now because I know the value of that.
Of someone just giving you a step.
Yes, just giving me the first gear in my business life. Mm. You know, it's critical.
And what was your mother's comments after that when she saw how you handled
everything? You know, I decided, at the time when I got the store, I was working at Wall Street in a brokerage house, you know. So I was going to work from my 2 to 10 shift. And in the mornings, I went to the store from 10 till 1:30 and I jumped on the train and went to Manhattan. After a while, I just, one day, I just went to the store and I sat on the counter and just took off my jacket and said, that's it, I'm not going back to no more work.
Mm.
I didn't even call them and tell them I wasn't coming back. I just decided to cut this way. I will sink or swim with this. I am not the owner of this.
What made you feel that? What was your thought process at that time?
Well, I think I should own, entrepreneurship is important because I went to school, I did business. So, you know, I figured there's an opportunity for me to be my own boss and control my destiny. And I'm going to take it. But in retrospect, I can look at the way my mother thought at the time, because all she saw in the music industry was lax and ganja. That's what she saw, which to this day don't apply to me.
I was going to say, but for you, you see lax and ganja, but with a different process.
Yes, music at the time, you know. So, and the thing about this, you know, I remember now when I made the decision that I'm going to leave work, I took all my savings and I went and I bought things and stocked up the store the Thursday. And Saturday morning I went back. They had broken into the store and took most of the stuff.
Your mother must have said, I told you.
No, I didn't tell her. No. My girlfriend at the time, she just gave me a credit card and said, you know, we have to go forward.
That's a girlfriend, man.
My daughter's mother. And, you know, so again, someone extended help.
Help.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, these things really solidify my position now as a man that I should be helping, because that's how I got to where I am today.
So at what point did you tell your mother?
I never tell anything about it. I just go about doing my business. And then, after that, that was 1976. And then... In 1980, I decided to move to Florida.
Mm.
So I sold the store to actually one of the workers that was there.
So you paid it forward.
Yes, to the next person. And then I went to Florida to live.
Do they still have the store today?
No, they don't have the store today.
Okay.
Yeah, but the music business really.
It changed.
It's just changed drastically.
Mm. Yeah. All right, so... that's a nice story with how we help each other. And a mother helped you to be a man by telling you no.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We know you as Penthouse, and you've had a fabulous run with any artist of the day. We call a name, they have recorded with Penthouse, for Penthouse, at Penthouse, on the Penthouse label. I want to know... you've got Dalton Harris is one of the ones that a lot of persons around the world saw you as a mentor for.
Mm-hmm.
Great things done by him. Mm-hmm. Buju Banton with his historic step on the road to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way. Marcia Griffiths, Beresford Hammond. These are top names in our music industry. What quality, what characteristic excites you in your artists?
Okay. Well, one of the most important thing, you know, and when I tell people this, they probably don't believe, I am not a fan of any of these artists. I am not a fan of any artist that I record.
Why?
I try not to get emotionally involved with the music, because when you get emotionally involved, you cannot make practical decisions.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I try not to get emotionally involved. But I am just being objective when I'm dealing with the artist, because if you're a fan, sometimes you probably make things slip when you should be saying, no, that shouldn't be done that way.
Business is business, and they have to see them. And the thing,
you know, you have to understand, when the artist gets successful from a relationship, that's where they want to stay. You know, it mm-hmm. goes without saying. So, mm-hmm. and sometimes a person might say, okay, they're going to get a Barry Salmon song to record, or a Marshall Griffiths song, or a Buju Banton song. Their focus is just to get a song from these artists, while my focus is to get a good song. There's a big difference, you know.
It is.
There's a difference between just having a song or having a good song. My focus is on, let's have a good song that will transcend time, because that's how you build a catalog.
I've got some fabulous people listening online right now. The Honda dealership in Florida, they're locked on. I've got restaurants in Detroit, Michigan. They're locked on and listening to the famed record producer out of Jamaica. This is none other than Donovan Germain, Penthouse, the heart of Jamaican music. And you've been through a fabulous 20, 30 years with us.
Yeah.
Jamaica is the reggae capital of the world. Mm. Although some people are saying it looks like other persons are taking out the music.
I don't believe that.
But we have a situation where you've had persons coming in to record with you. What do you feel about the impact our music has had on the global music landscape?
When you look at it, you know, there is very few all-year music industry in the world. Few. It's probably America.
So you're saying whether it's reggae or any form of music?
Any form. Very few. Probably the Spanish market might be in. The English market, the American market, and the Jamaican market. Jamaican music industry. Very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, every other music is seasonal. We have an all-year music. So to be recognized and included in Grammys, lots of movies, is a testament to the quality, the impact of the music.
And that they want our music for commercials.
Yes, yes.
You know, reggae has been acknowledged as one of the most hypnotic music formats.
Of course, of course.
That's there. You've just had Pharrell and the Rock Nation team. You so casually made that announcement. You know, oh, sorry, Buju can't be here to collect this award because he's in the studio right now. And it's Pharrell and Rock Nation in the house. How did you do that, you know?
That's what I tell you. I'm just being objective. I don't look at him as a star. As though someone outside would probably look. I just look at him as a working colleague. You know?
Yeah.
So it that's why it might sound casual, the way I said it.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people might say, oh, Pharrell. I just see someone who knows how to make some music. Because I don't see him as any more a man than I am. You know, yeah. He has made his mark in his industry. I've made my mark in my industry.
Mm-hmm.
I've made my mark all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, I'm not going to really get...
What do you think keeps people intrigued, enthralled with what we have here?
It's there's a certain magnetism to the music. It goes into your soul, you know, and it just captivates you, and you just find yourself just shaking it sometimes. You realize you're doing it. That's the music is so infectious, you know.
I call my listeners my reggae souls. Between 7 and 8 o'clock, we go for the segment. I call it my reggae souls. You know, people will listen because it is a music that will speak to your soul,
speak to your spirit. Soul, man, and captivate you.
March 8th is Women's Day
around
the world.
Yeah.
What are some of the differences for women today in reggae versus yesterday? What are the comparisons that you would make for similarities and differences?
Yeah, I get some flack for this too. But,
it's the edge. Go for the edge.
When I look at Marsha Griffiths, who has been in the industry from 1960-something and maintain a level of relevance to this day, that she's presently in Europe doing shows, and she didn't have to be showing her skin, you know. She just got there on her natural talent that God gave her.
Talent and magnetism, really beautiful.
But no, you know, most of these young ladies, you see them taking off them clothes, hardly have any clothes going on the stage, you know. So, you know, and incidentally, you know, if it can go to this, I probably recorded the most female artists, you know, because I think sometimes I get a raw deal, but sometimes it's self-inflicted.
Because
of the way them carry themselves on stage, you know, to me, you must make a talent.
Okay.
The talent must be the focal point of people looking at you and accepting you.
So
talent.
Are you saying it's a difference today then?
Yes,
that people
of course.
Are...
Depends on the female present themselves. You know.
Okay. So we have, I'm going to ask you then, the new crop of ladies that we have, like the Lila Ikers, the Janine and Naomi.
Exactly. That is the new crop of artists
Savannah.
That I see that making a difference now.
Hmm.
That they are the ones I can see now. Okay, as I've seen Marsha Griffiths here, now I can see these names that you have called now trying to make a difference to the thing right now.
I'll suggest it to you. Well, now we have the Me Too movement is making the news quite a bit on mainland America. But people are told that you have to lose weight, you have to show this, you have to do that. So isn't that going against what the industry is telling them abroad?
Well, I cannot give my opinion, you know.
Yeah. I'm just asking.
You know.
I agree with you, though. You know, it's a joy to see on the stage and hear for talent.
And Lila Ike, she is a talented young lady. I mean, talented. She's next generation to take the music from the female standpoint to the world.
Wow, we'll look out for that.
Yeah.
But then I'll ask you then, so is the pathway to success, you mentioned Lila, that she's the next, you know, and the next generation, is the pathway to success in the industry the same for men and women?
Good question. I think radio has a lot to do with it. This track is on the radio. Have a lot to do with it. You know, they probably, well, probably not know with this crop of artists, but they probably tend to play a male artist or a, you know, more frequently than a female artist. You find that level of disparity in rotation, you know.
I'm going to ask you about Edge then. Because we push the play for women. As a matter of fact, even on March 8th, Sunday, it's going to be only women that we're going to play.
That's very good.
Only women and all reggae. So we're not moving away from our format. It's just that we're going to highlight the number of songs and female artists out there.
Excellent
playing.
Idea.
So for Sunday, March 8th, just everyone 105.1, 105.3. And it's all women. You know Penthouse is going to feature in that as well.
Yeah.
You've had some fabulous women. Twiggy. And you know what? I better stop not mention names, because if I start mentioning them, then you have to mention every single one. Let's just say from in the 1980s through, there's not an artist, there's very few artists that have not had a song on Penthouse label.
No.
Or Germain label.
True. Okay, that's true. Yes, that's true.
Now, a lot of us will look at trying to be in front of the microphone and to be on stage. What are some of the areas in the industry that we need in Jamaica? Skill and talent and training for persons listening to say, you know what, we need this in the music industry as well. It's not just about being an artist on stage.
Well, one of my pet peeves, really, you know, is the lack of preparation for interviews by artists. And I've always said that when you might have certain deficiency when you start, but it's no shame in when you're making some money, you get a private tutor to help you to develop.
I hear you.
Yeah, you know, it's no shame in that, because that's a self-improvement. So, you know, that's one of my pet peeves. Another area that I think we need helping is that most of the talent is from the lower socioeconomic background. Not exposed to certain things. You know, I would have probably been happier if in the financial sector would take time out and help these young people what to do with their money.
To value.
Yes.
Value.
Yes. Instead of the first thing you get in is a car and you go into the club and you buy the most NEC and stuff like that. You know, I would have hoped that, you know, we know that we are in a business without a pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know that God willing, we can go down the road here. So... You know?
So then would you say then another part of talent or skill that we need in the industry is someone to I know there's some thrust now towards making a pension plan for our artists, but then that's another aspect of music, although it's not on the front line of music, mm-hmm. but then mm-hmm. persons in the insurance industry,
mm-hmm.
persons I know in the skill set that we do need our artists, the management side and the persons who do the advertising and who write articles for you. So there are so many periphery roles that we need filled, and it does come from education.
Yeah,
you know,
an exposure
to go through. One of the things I will bring in here, I saw a clip of you with Mr. Harris years ago,
mm-hmm.
training him. And I wasn't going to highlight any individual, but I think Dalton Harris, with what he did on the international stage,
mm-hmm.
the way that he attacked all these songs, I know he himself is a different talent completely,
mm-hmm.
but would you say that that was all natural, but a part of it as well was discipline?
Both. Yeah. Natural talent. And I tell people that Dalton was prepared for stardom, you know.
I could see it, yeah.
Because when he came to Penthouse as like a 16-year-old, I remember I asked him to see his report card. And when the report card came, he was absent from school most of the time, you know. And I remember I went to KC and I asked his master, could you... Take him in. And because sometimes, like I said, sometimes some people just opportunity again.
Yeah.
So, when, you know, got him into KC and he wanted to record. And I said to him, no, you're going to go to school. Because you're going to represent my company.
Yes.
So, there's a certain level of representation that I want. And so, you know... It wasn't very happy at the time, but at the end of the day, he went to school, went to sixth form, got his subjects. So when he went on this international stage and opened his mouth, he didn't have to worry
exactly what
was going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Because of preparation. So when people see that happening, they must have a certain level of respect for you, you know, because you're talented and you can represent yourself.
Yes.
You know, so yeah. This, to me, preparation for stardom is one of the critical components for artists.
And that is really what we have in Jamaica. So many stars. Yeah. That if we were even more prepared.
We have so many talent.
Exactly.
In Jamaica.
Yes.
It's just a matter of preparation and a willingness to maintain a level of humility. You know, it's important.
What's next for you?
What's next for me?
For Donovan Germain.
You know, my mentor, one of my idols, in a sense, was Clement Dadd. Studio One.
Mm-hmm.
Because this might just be preempting the question you asked me, you know, about pivotal moments in reggae, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's one of the most significant and pivotal situations in reggae. For a man that went on as a farm worker, bought records and came back to Jamaica and started a studio, which to this day has one of the best catalogued music in Jamaican history.
Yeah.
So that's a part of one of the significant roles.
And there's a lot of persons in that line now, maybe struggling now. So is that a part of our success story to say, listen, take the struggle, because that doesn't mean you have to stay there. It's a stepping stone to where you can get in greatness.
You see, for me, I have a vision. I have a vision and stick to itiveness. Ultimately, it pays off, you know.
And learn to read and write.
Yes, man. That is the key. that is the foundational thing, you know.
Oh,
you know.
All right. Your best advice then for someone looking to break into the industry, whether on stage or in the studio, as a recording engineer, as a person who looks at the quality of the music, your best advice.
First of all, you have to really love the music industry and be committed to it, because rest assured, there'll be hard times. Not just a situation you walk in and be successful. There'll be hard times. You have to be prepared for that. You know, and strive for a level of professionalism, because that's one of the things that creates a lot of problems for our industry, the lack of professionalism. We have to try and surround yourself with competent people. You know, and don't follow the noise of the market. And get taken for the hype. You know, because today you can have the biggest song and tomorrow people just walk past you because you don't have no more song. You know? So maintain a level of humility.
All right, so now the three pivotal moments in reggae history from one of our greatest producers out of Jamaica, Donovan Germain. The three pivotal moments.
Like I said earlier, Clement Dadd was one of the pivotal moments.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Marley is another pivotal moment that brought the music to the world. The third pivotal moment. Wow. I would want to say that the inclusion of our music in the Grammys.
Okay.
I would think, because what it did, although we are not on
the prime time,
it's still it's something. Big things start from little steps.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we may be able to get it on the prime time one day.
But the Minister Babsy Grange has been able to get us on the world market as being recognized
exactly.
as reggae. So that's a good start
exactly.
as well
yes.
to take. But you dodged my bullet, you know.
Yeah.
What's next for Donovan Germain?
What's next for me? The next thing for me is going out to KC and start the Malin Cup side. Because actually I'm the manager of the entire football program at KC, a group of us, but I'm the lead manager.
Mm.
So it's an all year round situation. it's a mentorship situation. So what I've basically cut my ear in two half. See, from January to June, mm-hmm. I'm in the studio. From June to December, I'm at KC.
Investing.
Yes.
Putting into the young men. We need that in our
of
society,
course.
You know.
I'll tell you something. My first year down there, we had 22, the squad of 22 players. When I spoke to the first 11 boys, six of them didn't know who the father was. So it made me realize even the importance of my management crew. I have to play with these kids because when you see that they didn't have any male role models in the house, and it's the behavior, you know, because I grew up with my mother. I see my father, but I never see anything that I am ashamed of in terms of. Then he was there, but he didn't probably live with me all the time. But he played his role as a father, you know. So even that from that itself was also a teaching moment for me, you know. So my role at Kingston College now is very important. Like I said, like giving back situation right now there, you know.
Donovan Germain, for so many men listening right now who maybe have not had a father, but who are there, and we see so much happening in our society today. I'm hoping that they listen and realize that you're not all about just one thing, because you do have such a hand in Penthouse. You've created such a history, but you're taking the time to make sure the fabric of the society is woven and we're mending the holes.
I have to give back
for our young men.
I have to give back, man.
Certainly hope that if you can, that you'll do the same thing as well. I think listening to us here on the 105.1, 105.3, it's all about life and taking people to the edge, you know. We have the title The Edge for a reason. So you're saying to everyone as well, this is what you do.
Yeah.
I'm saying to everyone, take a leaf out of the book, because you didn't have to do it.
True.
You just want to do it to give back. And I really love that. Yeah. I love that.
Great feeling when you have kids that you mentor and you see them getting scholarships and going abroad to university. It just does something for you, you know.
Well, listen, my name is Dion Mattis, and you are inside the home run. We're inside the last hour. I have never done this before for anyone to take such a time to go through, but I wanted to give that to you because you have given so much to Jamaica, and you have invested so much in other people that I love the fact that you've decided to come with us here to invest the time with our listeners as well, too.
No problem.
1987, Penthouse Studio opened on Slypen Road. Greetings to Slypen Road, massive listening now. Up to this time, 2020, he is now awarded the Order of Distinction by the Jamaican government. And it is my pleasure to have you here inside the home run with us this evening. Thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome.
Best of wishes for the future.
Same to you.
Take care.
Thank you.